This is what I want to share with you tonight. And we'll start in Matthew. You have your Bible. Start in Matthew, the 26th chapter. And Kevin, if you would the... let's start with the first verse. Let's see what we have here.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all of these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Sixth verse, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box.
Now, what was Jesus doing in Bethany? Because this is the place where Lazarus is raised from the dead. Didn't Jesus make a statement there that I am the resurrection and life? Did he make that statement? Did he say, I am the resurrection and life? So before the crucifixion, here he is. He's in Bethany where he made the statement where he rose Lazarus from the dead. And that's the same place he departed from. After the resurrection, he departed from Bethany. And Bethany is the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. That's where Bethany is located. And it says in the 24th chapter of Luke in the 50th verse, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. You notice the word carried? When you get ready, when we leave this world to be with the Lord, we're going to be carried there. Amen? Amen. Carried by what? What does God have angels for? Why are we going to be carried there? Because Lucifer is the prince of power of the air. And he don't want you to get into the heavenlies. Don't the missiles, don't they have to break the law of gravity to get out there in space? When they return, if you don't come in at the right angle and you hit that gravity, that pull and the heat, we've seen that those that were killed accidentally because of a problem with the spacecraft because of the intense heat. So there is a problem going out into space. And there's going to be a problem because the prince of power of the air does not want you to leave. Some of you didn't hear me. I mean, if you can understand this, the prince of power of the air does not want you to leave. He wants to keep you here to continue on with your troubles. But we're getting ready to get out of here. We're getting ready to get out of here. Because it says he went to Bethany, he lifted up his hands, he blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. When you talk about things like this, you know, people say, oh, well, I can't believe that. Well, then stop breathing if you don't believe. You might as well just stop living. You know, when you get to the place where you can't believe, how are you going to explain life? And Jesus didn't say all things are possible to him that can explain. He said all things are possible to him that believeth. And when you have faith, people say, well, how do you get to God? You don't have to worry about getting to God. God gets to you. You say, well, how do you get God in you? You don't have to worry about getting God in you. When he gets to you, he'll take care of getting in you. You don't have to work for it. You say, well, how do you do it? Through faith. Everybody say, through faith. That's how you get the Lord within you. It's not perfection that brings the Lord in you. People say, well, if I act holy and I am holy, then the Lord is going to live within me. No, it's through faith. What's the ABC of faith, Kevin?
Action.
Belief.
Belief.
And confidence.
Confidence.
Everybody say ABC.
ABC.
What is action? Action is faith in. Say faith in. The same way tithing and faithing. You see, people want to, well, how do we get to God? Very simple. Faithing, giving. A work of faith, putting the value on what you have. It has to be action. So if you have action, then you have belief. People that say they believe and there's no action, they just got a lot of lip service. Are you here? Action brings belief. If Abraham, if he never went up to offer up his son, he never would have been able to make the testimony, give the testimony that the Lord will provide. But in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, it said he was tempted of God. God don't tempt you. He was tried of God. God tries you. And people say, well, I've got away with all this. Yeah, God lets the reins loose to try you. You see, then things begin to change. That's what God does. He turns the reins loose. He's there. That's what he did with Abram, to prove him. And Abram went up on that mount. He was ready to offer up his son as a sacrifice. But a voice came from heaven. You see, when there is action, there is belief, then you have confidence. All right? He goes to offer up his son, but a voice comes from heaven. What'd that voice say, Barry?
He said, hold it.
Hold it. Don't kill your son. Because the Lord had a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. That sacrifice was Jesus Christ. So it was in Bethany that we read in Matthew 26. And here in Luke 24, at the resurrection, Jesus leads him as far as to Bethany. He lifts up his hands, he blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. There's a warfare going on. So in order for us to get through, like the missiles that get shut out in the space, you're going to need some extra boosters on the side. Hello, church. They fall off after it's reached its speed that it's going to break through. So if you understand a little bit about the natural things in life, they have booster rockets on the side. So you see, when we go up, we're going to have some booster rockets. Hello? We're not going to go up alone. We're going to be carried because the prince of power of the air is trying to hinder your flight from getting to heaven. So it says he was parted, he blessed them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him in the 52nd verse and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. If you want the promise from God, you have to have the right attitude. Are you there? It says they returned with joy and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. For 10 days, they had a praise meeting. And they weren't concerned about going home. The doors were locked. Nobody could get in. Nobody could get out. They weren't concerned about what the family was doing. They weren't concerned about their job. They weren't concerned about time. How many know that when you're in love with somebody, there is no time? Huh? When folks get in a hurry to get away, do I have to tell you? Are you with me tonight? Amen. When folks are in a hurry to get out of church, that's because they're not in love with God. They're in love with other things, the love of this world, the cares of the world, the love of the world, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So I just want to bring out the significance of Bethany, of why all these here things transpired at Bethany, because that's where Lazarus was risen from the dead, and that's where Jesus made the statement, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. They were continually in the temple, continually praising and blessing God. I don't have to tell you what happened. There came a sound. How many know a sound is a feeling? That's what sound is. It's a feeling. How does the ear work, Barry?
The ear takes waves of air and translates it into what we call sound, but it's not. It's actually air waves, air pressure being sensed by this little silica, little sensors in your ear, and it's translated as sound to you, but it's not sound, it's something you feel.
I feel it. I said, I feel it. Amen. What did Elijah say? I hear the sound. What did he say? I feel it. When you have this feeling, it's something within you. You feel it. Like you mothers that had babies, do you feel the baby moving inside? Do you feel the kicking inside? Elizabeth felt it. She was 6 months pregnant. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes by and salutes him. And it says that the babe, John the Baptist, while she was 6 months pregnant, leaped in her womb for joy. What did the baby get? Baby got a feeling. He got a rush of the Holy Ghost. I said he got a rush of the Holy Ghost. Can you say praise the Lord? He had a feeling with inside. It was a rush of the Holy Spirit. When you feel that quickening power of God going through you, it's like electricity. It's a feeling. It came a sound, it says. In the second chapter of Acts, suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. Like you blink your eyes. That's what the word of God said. The Lord's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. No, the twinkling of an eye, it means just faster than you can bat your eyes. How many times do you blink a minute, Barrett?
Several times a minute, but couple thousand times a day.
Couple of thousand times a day you're blinking. Well, quicker than you can blink in the twinkling of an eye, it says that the Lord is going to get his people out of here. It's going to happen fast. Amen. He's going to do a quick work. You're not going to say, now, wait a minute, I have to take care of business before this happens. You don't have to worry about business anymore. And the Lord just says, it's just going to happen so fast. So suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, there came a sound, a feeling from heaven. A feeling from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. How many know you can't see the wind, but you feel it? How many know you don't see the wind, but you feel it, don't you? People try to explain the spirit. Well, explain the wind. You don't see it, but you feel it. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You don't see it with your natural eye, but it's a feeling that is within the side of you. So he says, there came a sound from heaven as a rush of mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. Why it says they cloven? Because cloven is two. That means that there's going to be mercy and judgment in the world. That's what cloven tongues represent. Cloven tongues, mercy, and judgment. Two tongues. We are right now in the day of mercy. But there's cloven tongues. There's another tongue coming, and it's a tongue of judgment. You may not hear it from the pulpit because we got the tongue of mercy getting you ready for the coming of the Lord. But when we leave, judgment is written on the wall. And if you don't see that it's going to take place in the world today, then you need to say, the Lord, prepare me because I don't understand. Belshazzar didn't understand the handwriting on the wall. But when Daniel came, he gave him the handwriting, spoke the words that were written in a language that Belshazzar couldn't understand. He said, you weighed in the balances and you found wanting. And that night, Belshazzar died. There's death in the world today. Judgment is upon us. Are you there? The baby is soon to be delivered. You say, how do you know? Because before the baby is delivered, there's labor pains. Are there labor pains? How do you know the baby's going to be delivered? Because there's a warning period, and then the water has to break. When you come here, honey, I break your water. I said it's the word of God. That's what water does. Makes life easier for you. The water breaks to make the birth easier. You know what the problem is in churches today? We got too many dry births. More concerned about impressing people coming to them in the intellect of man, in the wisdom of man. But they ain't going to get the job done. Because it says on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus left from Bethany. And where were we in Bethany in Matthew 26, Kevin?
Sixth verse.
What does it say?
It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany.
There we go again. See, here we go again. Go ahead. Tell us what happened.
In the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste?
Now, let's see who actually said this. Turn, Kevin, to John, the 12th chapter, and what does the 6th verse say there? Let's see who actually made the statement.
It says, then this he said, one in the 4th verse?
Yeah, go back to the 4th.
Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot.
Who was it?
Judas.
Judas who?
Iscariot.
Iscariot. Go ahead.
Which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor.
Not that he cared for the poor. Not that he cared. See? People that always question money is because they got other motives in mind. You see, he wasn't concerned about the poor. What he was concerned about was, I carry the money bag, and I could have had this money in the money bag, and I could have reached my hand in and got some out. I'll show you something here in a minute. Was it Judas that said it, Kevin?
Yes.
What did he say?
This he said, not that he cared for the poor.
Not that he cared for the poor. A lot of people, you know, they have a lot of things to say. Because it's a spirit that gets hold of them, and they're always concerned about money. You know, that's the big obstacle in many people's lives. That was the big obstacle here in Judas's life. And that's why he betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus because of money. Because we'll go back in a minute to Matthew 26, and you'll see that he went to the priest and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He had a spirit of covetousness within him. I'll tell you again, he had a spirit of covetousness with him. He wanted what someone else had. Like a lot of people, they want to live off of the success of others in the world. Judas Iscariot wasn't concerned about the money he was, or the poor. What he wanted was the money. Read that in John. Kevin, what does it say?
It says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor.
Not that he cared for the poor. Go ahead.
But because he was a thief, had the bag and bear what was put therein.
Now you can put the website back on. Because he was a thief and what, Kevin?
He bare the bag and bear what was put therein.
Go ahead.
Then said Jesus, let her alone.
Let her alone. Leave people alone. If you want to make it into the kingdom, I said, stop getting involved in other people's business. Can you say amen? Amen. Leave them alone. And stop letting others affect your life when you know what you should do in order to serve the Lord. Don't listen to people's opinions, because if you do, you're going to miss it. Can you say amen? So now go back to Matthew 26. Let's see what it says there. Go
says
back to the
6th verse again, or?
You can start with the 8th verse. The disciples saw it, they had indignation saying, but it was one that started it, and that was Judas. We read that in John. Go ahead, continue. Start with the 9th verse.
For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body.
Wait, what was Jesus saying here, Kevin? You have the poor what?
You have the poor with you always.
Well, that's going to make a lot of people angry, huh? I mean, here's Jesus, the Son of God, saying, hey, listen, there's always going to be poor people in this world. So you might as well just face the facts of life. You know, he's looking for an excuse. Well, there's a lot of poor people out there, so why don't you do something about it? You know, that's what Jesus told the rich ruler that came to him. He said, you know, how do I get into the kingdom? Jesus said, sell what you have. You want to get into the kingdom? You want to be religious? All right. When the statement was put on him, you know, how do I get into the kingdom? What do I do? He's a rich ruler. It says he went away sorrowful. The Lord said, sell your possessions, because the Lord knew that his possessions were standing between him and God. He was making a statement. Well, I've kept all the laws. I'm so holy. I go to church. You know, I'm perfect. I'm not like others that are around. So he comes to Jesus. He says, good master, what do I have to do to get in the kingdom? Jesus says, don't call me good. He says, there's none good on this earth except my Father, which is in heaven. So don't go around calling folks good. He was just getting Jesus, you know, worked up, wanted to get on the good side of him. Jesus said, you want to get there? Sell what you have. He said, sell what you have. Give it to the poor. He didn't like that statement. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You see what I mean? So don't go making statements because God's going to require it of you. God will require it of you. Thank God that you're blessed. I said, thank God that you're blessed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I says, thank God that you're blessed. Thank God for what you have. Because if you're going to make a statement of others what they should do, then God's going to require of you, why don't you do it? If you see the need, then you go out and do something about it. Thank God for what you have. And that's what Jesus was getting across. He said, you're always going to have the poor. He said, this woman saw a value on my life, and she has given something that is as valuable as my death. It's equal to my dying on the cross. So continue, Kevin.
For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver.
See here? You're going to require something of somebody else, and here you see what the man wanted. So don't go around saying what others should do, because God's going to say, if you see the need, then you do it. You're going to be held. The Bible says that every idle word that you speak, every idle word that you speak, you're going to have to answer to God for it. A lot of idle words are spoken. And the Lord said, there's one sin that's unpardonable, and that's when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And one of the best ways to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to say you see a need and point a finger at someone else like Judas was doing, of a woman that was doing a good deed. And the Lord said to him, you're going to always have poor people around, Judas. And Judas didn't do anything about it. He went out and he sold, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I'm just bringing out a point to you tonight. Thank God for what you have. I said, thank God for your blessings. Can you say amen? And because the Lord has chosen to bless you, rejoice in it. Can you say amen? Rejoice in it. Because if you don't rejoice in what, if you don't return with joy, it says they went to the upper room with joy. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. If you want the blessings to continue in your life, keep on praising the Lord. Can you say amen? And thank him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't that what David said in Psalms 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not what? Forget not what? All his benefits. Let me read it to you. Who forgiveth all your iniquities, he heals all your diseases, he redeems your life from destruction, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know what loving kindness and tender mercies are? Loving kindness is mashed potatoes with brown gravy, and tender mercies hot biscuits with butter. Are you here? I said he crowns you. He crowns you. With loving kindness, mashed potatoes and brown gravy. Best meal there is. Hot biscuits and butter. He gives you loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Are you here? You hear what the Lord said? He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like what?
The eagle.
The eagle. We're not turkeys, we're eagles. Can you say amen? Amen? Turkeys are one of the dumbest animals in the world. When it rains out, they'll look up into the rain and they'll drown themselves. They have to bring them inside when it rains out because they're too stupid to keep their head down. When they have to eat grain, they got to put marbles in the grain, so they're pecking out the marble in order to get up some grain. They don't even know how to eat. Are you there? So what else does it say there in Matthew, Kevin?
From this time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them.
Hey, Jesus had some friends, didn't he? They said, where are we going to hold this here Passover? He said, I got a friend in town. Isn't it good to have friends? Amen? And he said, to do what, Kevin?
Say unto him,
yeah.
The Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
I'm going to use your house. We're going to have a party there. Can you say amen? We're going to have a party. We're going to have the Last Supper, the Passover dinner. It should be a time of joy and rejoicing. Can you say amen? It said that after the Lord departed from them and was carried up into heaven, they returned with joy. When you have the understanding of what the Lord has done for you, that he took your place on Calvary, you should be shouting. He spared you from death. He spared you from poverty. Can you say hallelujah? Why do you think America is blessed? We're blessed because we have the freedom of worship. But you see, Lucifer is coming around to try to take that freedom from you. But I got news for Lucifer. The baby is soon to be delivered. Can you say amen? I said the baby is soon. You say, how do you know? I'm going to tell you again. Mama, you feel the pain. You feel the kicking. Can you say amen? The birth pangs are upon us. It's soon to be delivered. Can you say praise the Lord? We're going to leave here with victory. Glory to God. I get excited about it. Psalms 121. I'm going to lift up my eyes. You want a miracle? You got to be like Abraham. Or Abram at the time. His name is Abram. After Lot departed from him, he lifted up his eyes. And the Lord said, as far as you can see, it belongs to you. Aren't you excited about that? Amen. Claim your territory. Claim your territory. Animals claim their territory. Do animals claim their territory, Barry?
They mark the spot.
They mark the spot. That's why the dogs sniff the fire hydrant. They want to mark the spot. Do lions have a territory, Barry?
Yeah, and if anybody oversteps their bounds, they have a problem.
So claim your territory. Because when you come back with the Lord, you're going to have some territory. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can you say praise the Lord? He said, I'm going there to prepare a place. But he said, we're going to come back. Though you have your house, there's another planet coming down. There is another planet coming down. It's called New Jerusalem. It's called the New Jerusalem. Psalms, I haven't forgot it, going back there again. Psalms 121, I'm going to lift up my eyes. Get well. Abram lifted up his eyes, Kevin, after Lot departed from him. I'm going to look to the hills, from whence cometh my help. And that word help in the Hebrew is Sukkor. And Sukkor means that God runs to your aid. God runs to your aid. When a baby cries, don't you run to the aid mother? When a baby cries and you're breastfeeding the baby, don't the milk start? I'm not a woman. I'm asking you, I need help. Am I right or wrong? Hello? When the baby cries and you're breastfeeding the baby, baby may be in another room, they say the milk starts flowing. Sometimes, well, that's what I heard, so I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't know everything. I'm not a... What do you know, Dr. Taylor? You know anything about that?
But yeah, it happens like that. Moms are connected to their kids. And when the kid starts crying, the most natural reaction is to give the kid what it needs, and mom starts bringing forth milk. It happens.
So when you call out on the Lord... That's what the Lord said, except you become as little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. I cried to God every day, help!
Help!
Lord, I need more! Everybody say more!
More!
That'll be like a little baby. He said, except you become as little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. So here it says, I'm going to lift up my eyes. From whence cometh my help? And that word help means succor. God runs to your aid. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer. I like this one. He don't bring evil upon you. He will not bring, say, he will not bring evil upon me. That's what that word suffer means. He will not suffer. He will not bring evil upon you. Thy foot to be moved. Now, why does it say foot? It's talking about your possessions. Say possessions. Say possessions. Because the Lord told Abram, he says, everywhere that you put the sole of your feet, it's your possession. You got to understand the word. Everywhere you put the sole of your feet, it's your possession, Abram. Go ahead and look around, but now you got to start walking. Hallelujah. And wherever you put your feet, he said, those possessions are yours. And that's what it says. He will keep your foot. In other words, he watches over your possessions. Oh, go ahead and praise the Lord. Woman with the issue of blood. Spent all her money on the doctors. 12 years going to doctors. Imagine if she spent all her money on preachers. Boy, I tell you, the prophetic would be talked about, wouldn't he? My God, this woman went to church and just gave all she had. Give all you have to the doctor. No one says he criticizes you. Oh, you. Oh, what are you doing that for? Well, I want to get well. I don't want to die. Spent all her money on doctors. 12 years. She was broke. She was broke, but she wasn't poor because she was rich in faith. Yeah, I've been broke. You've been ever broke? But you're not poor because she heard Jesus was passing by and she reached out, took hold of the hem of his garment. And when she took hold of the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Now it took a woman that had a little bit of guts to do that. Why, Barry? Why did it take a strong woman to do that?
She was unclean. Anything she would touch would be defiled. She was supposed to be separate from everybody else. But she had the nerve to touch Christ. But I'll tell you what, he would have been unclean if she wasn't healed.
She wasn't healed, tell him, he would have been unclean.
He would have been unclean.
Mm-hmm.
But because he healed her, or she received her healing, he wasn't unclean and she was made whole.
Ah! Are you here? That's how much the Lord loves you, hallelujah. If she didn't get a miracle, he wouldn't have been able to die on the cross. He'd have been considered unclean. We're a bunch of unclean people, all of us here tonight. You know what you did? You reached out and you took hold. Come on. I said, you're all unclean. We've all been unclean. Can you say amen? But we heard Jesus was passing by. And because Jesus was passing by, we reached out and took hold of the promises of God. Can you say hallelujah? It takes a courageous person when they've been going through their problems to reach out and take hold. And it said, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she was afraid to answer. He said, "I felt virtue go out of my body." You know what virtue is? Power. And he said, "Daughter, you notice? Daughter, that's what brings you into the family of God." He didn't say, "Go down the Massapequa Tabernacle and join the church." Right away, they want you to join up. He said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." You see what faith does? It makes you whole and it brings you into the kingdom of God. It gives you eternal life. Can you say amen? Daughter, everyone say, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I get excited about that. My God. Amen. That's what brings you into the family faith. Not joining up. Not joining up. People want to join up. We don't have joiners in this church. Want to join up? There's plenty of places that'll have you join. I tell people, you might as well sign your name on a barn door and shake a donkey's tail. It'll do you just as much good. You want to sign up? Go sign up. The donkey's tail is the preacher's hand. They'll take you in the fellowship. Might as well sign your name on a barn door and shake a donkey's tail. That's about as much good as it give you. But when you have faith, when you have faith and you reach out, he said to her, "Daughter," everybody say, "Daughter."
Daughter.
Daughter. He brought her into the family. That's what brings you into the family, faith. You've been made whole. That means she was healed of her plague. And she was also healed not only of that, she was healed spiritually because he called her daughter. And she was healed financially. Because you look up the word whole, and the word whole means complete. So if she got a physical miracle, she got a spiritual miracle, and she got a financial miracle, it's all in the package. Can you say amen? Spiritually, physically, and financially. Let's say it. Spiritually, physically, and financially. It's all in the package.
All in the package.
Amen. Amen. Oh, spent all the money on the preacher. No, it was on doctors. People can accept that. But the doctors couldn't help her. They're limited. They're man. But I know the man that can help you. When you come to the end of yourself, can you say amen? She knew who to turn to. She heard Jesus was coming to town. "He'll not suffer thy foot, your possessions, to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." What's that word slumber, Evelyn, in Psalms 121 and 3? What does it mean?
"Will not slumber" means he's always busy working for your behalf.
Ah! Isn't that great to know somebody's working for you and not against you? He is always working in your behalf. Say, "Thank you, Lord." Do you know he's working in your behalf while you're sitting here? Do you know while you're sleeping he's working in your behalf? Do you know while you're riding down the road he's working in your behalf? When you're on the job, he's working in your behalf. There may be people working against you, but the Lord is there working in your behalf. You don't slumber. I said he's always on the job, 24 hours a day. All right. The Lord is my, well, let's go to the fourth verse here. Behold, he in Psalms 121, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber." We always got that. He's always awake, nor sleep. You know what that word sleep means? He never gives you stale bread. He don't give you leftovers. Say, fresh bread.
Fresh bread.
Fresh bread. He don't give you leftovers. What do we find for the word sleep, Evelyn? What the concordance say for sleep?
The word sleep means a fresh supply, never a stale bread does the Lord give you.
Never a stale
never.
Bread. He doesn't slumber. He's always awake. He don't sleep. There's no stale bread. There's always fresh bread. Didn't he teach his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily what?"
Bread.
What kind of bread? Fresh bread. You know what bread means in Brooklyn? Money. What he's telling you, give us this day our daily money. I wish somebody would praise the Lord. How do you buy bread? Don't you buy bread with money? Don't you need money to buy bread? So he says, give us this day our daily money. Got it? That's the first thing he tells you to ask for. People say, oh, well, that isn't religious. Well, why did Jesus say in Matthew 26, what this woman has done in giving of her money is going to be spoken of whenever this gospel is preached. This has to be spoken of, what this woman has done, as a memorial. You know what a memorial? Written in stone. You know what they do with cemeteries? They have memorials, don't they? It's written in stone, that person's name. In other words, I'm writing it in stone. It's going to be spoken of as a memorial. Where the gospel is preached, then you're going to have to preach about giving. It's all related, because giving is just as much a sacrifice as Jesus giving his life on Calvary, and is just as holy as it is Jesus dying for you. Money is just as holy in the sight of God. And the same way he was raised from the dead on the third day, this is the way Jesus will raise you up, whatever your problem is, spiritually, physically, or financially. He will raise you up. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I get excited about this.